Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today, we're reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. That's the last two verses, starting with text 45. Please repeat after me. I didn't say that. Nishamya karma tach chambor. Nishamya karma tach chambor. Deva devasya midushaha. Deva devasya midushaha.
Deva devasya midushaha.
Praja.
Praja.
Dakshayani.
Dakshayani.
Brahma.
Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntash.
Vaikuntash.
Cha.
Cha.
Shashamshire.
Shashamshire.
Vaikuntash cha shashamshire.
Vaikuntash cha shashamshire.
Nishamya karma tat chambor.
Nishamya karma tat chambor.
Deva devasya midusha.
Deva devasya midusha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shamsham shashamshire. Nishamya karma tat chambor.
Nishamya karma tat chambor.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Others?
Nishamya karma tachambo.
Nishamya karma tachambo.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Nishamya karma tachambo.
Nishamya karma tachambo.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Deva devasya midhusha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Nishamya karma tachchambo.
Nishamya karma tachchambo.
Deva devasya midushaha.
Deva devasya midushaha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Ladies.
Nishamya karma tachchambo.
Nishamya karma tachchambo.
Deva devasya midushaha.
Deva devasya midushaha.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Praja dakshayani Brahma.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
Vaikuntas cha shashamshire.
No other lady, nobody else? Please repeat after me. Nishamya.
Nishamya.
After hearing.
After hearing.
Karma.
Karma.
The act.
The act.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Shambho of Lord Shiva. Deva Devasya, who is worshipable even by, who is worshipable even for the demigods. Midushaha, he who bestows great benedictions upon people in general. Prajaha, the people in general. Dakshayani, Bhavani, the daughter of Daksha. Brahma, Lord Brahma. Vaikuntha cha, Lord Vishnu also. Shamshire, Shashamshire. Praised very much. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Upon hearing of this act, everyone, including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general, very highly praise this deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benedictions upon the people. Text 46. Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs, and other animals whose bites are poisonous took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, Prabhupada.
Mosquitoes, jackals, dogs, and other varieties of Dandashukha, or animals whose bites are poisonous, drank the poison of Samudra Manthana, the churned ocean, since it was available after it fell from the palms of Lord Shiva. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that when we think of poisonous animals, we think of mostly of snakes, you know, scorpions like that. But other animals, like dogs and jackals, or cats, even if they bite you, because their mouths are contaminated, then you get infections. In fact, if a dog bites you, then you'll quarantine the dog to see if you got rabies. then if you don't, then they shoot the dog. Right? But Manu says that because they use hunting dogs in hunting, so that if a dog, you know, catches a deer or bites a deer, then the flesh is not contaminated, even though it's been bitten by a dog. Scorpions and cobras. When we usually think of snake bites, are particularly, you don't want to ever be bitten by a snake, a poisonous snake. You have to look on Google, images, snake bite. And when you see what happens, even if you survive from a snake bite, you don't want to be bitten. Because snake bites, like there's four different types of poisonous snakes in India. Cobras, crates, and two different varieties of vipers. I think one is, I can't remember the names. But they have for a variety of toxins, hemotoxins, neurotoxins. Hemotoxins affect the heart and the blood. The neurotoxins cause respiratory failure by affecting the nerves. Cytotoxins, which dissolve the flesh, and other variety of toxins. You can have like a liter. You can have a bowl of blood, and you put one drop of a viper's toxin, and it will solidify it. It'll turn into jello in a few seconds. That's what happens to the blood in your body. It just solidifies, it's poison. That the snake venom is a sort of a highly specialized saliva. It's not just for, part of it is for killing its victims, part of it is for defense, and also it's for digesting its prey. It doesn't, you can't chew up, you know, see, snakes are not like, you know, taking knife and fork and cutting it up and chewing, you know, 32 times on each side of it. You know, it bites the animal, then it swallows it, and it digests. So if it bites you, then all the cells in your body around the snake bite dissolve. It's basically you're being digested. So you don't want that to happen. You don't want to be bitten by a serpent. Fortunately, in India, the highest concentration of snake bite deaths is in the district of Nadia, right where our temple is. But no one in our temple has been bitten, in the Mayapur Dham that I know of, has been bitten by a snake. Why is that? Because we have a very large Garuda standing in front of our temple. The one time snakes came into Srila Prabhupada's room, in 76, some snakes, they got into Prabhupada's room. Somehow they came into this bathroom, they climbed up the pipes. But still nobody was... And there's a lot of different... the poison is extremely virulent. Like in the case of Takshaka, just by biting Maharaj Parikshit, he burst into flames. No funeral pyre necessary for Maharaj Parikshit afterwards. He burst into flames. The power of the poison was so powerful. So now we'll go to the next chapter, which is chapter 8, the churning of the milk ocean. Do you usually read the introduction?
Yeah.
Somebody? Okay. This chapter describes how the goddess of fortune appeared during the churning of the ocean of milk and how she accepted Lord... Oh, I want to say one more thing about snakes. Is that if you kill a serpent, you know, like... You said, remember, I was leaving Mayapur and going to Chennai for the Rath Yatra, and the maid, she went downstairs and she immediately came screaming upstairs, "Nag, nag," you know, she saw a snake. So they brought in the watchman, he killed the snake, and immediately you have to burn the bodies. The bodies have to be burned. Otherwise, the mate of the snake will come, look in the eyes of the dead snake, see who was the last person that snake saw, who was the person who killed him, and they will go looking for you. They will go looking for you. They will go through a room. There could be a room full of other people. They'll crawl through the room and only go to the person who they're searching for. They won't bother anybody else, but they'll come looking for you. So they immediately burn the bodies. If you don't believe me, try it for yourself. They have a lot of experience with these things. And the reason I was looked up the about snake bites is because miraculously, I live in the middle of Bangalore, a city of 12 million people, but somehow or other a snake, a 4-foot cobra showed up in my property and everybody was... terrified. All the neighbors were terrified of that snake. So, the churning of the milk ocean. This chapter describes how the goddess of fortune appeared during the churning of the milk of the ocean of milk and how she accepted Lord Vishnu as her husband. As described later in the chapter, when Dhanvantari appeared with a pot of nectar, the demons immediately snatched it from him. But Lord Vishnu appeared as the incarnation Mohini, the most beautiful woman in the world, just to captivate the demons and save the nectar for the demigods. After Lord Shiva drank all the poison, both the demigods and demons took courage and resumed their activities of churning. Because of this churning, first a Surabhi cow was produced. Great saintly persons accepted this cow to derive clarified butter from its milk and offer this clarified butter in oblations for great sacrifices. Thereafter, a horse named Uchashrava was generated. This horse was taken by Bali Maharaj. Then there appeared Airavata and other elephants. that could go anywhere in any direction, and she-elephants also appeared. The gem known as Kaustubha was also generated, and Lord Vishnu took that gem and placed it on his chest. Thereafter, a Parijata flower and the Apsaras, the most beautiful women in the universe, were generated. Then, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, appeared. The demigods, great sages, Gandharvas, and others offered her their respectful worship. The goddess of fortune could not find anyone to accept as her husband. At last, she selected Lord Vishnu to be her master. Lord Vishnu gave her a place to stay everlastingly at his chest. Because of this combination of Lakshmi and Narayana, all who were present, including the demigods and people in general, were very pleased. The demons, however, being neglected by the goddess of fortune, were very depressed. Then Varuni, the goddess of drinking, was generated. And by the order of Lord Vishnu, the demons accepted her. Then the demons and demigods, with renewed energy, began to churn again. This time, a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu, called Dhanvantari, appeared. He was very beautiful, and he carried a jug containing nectar. The demons immediately snatched the jug from Dhanvantari's hand and began to run away. And the demigods, being very morose, took shelter of Vishnu. After the demigods snatched the jug from Dhanvantari, they began to fight amongst themselves. Lord Vishnu solaced the demigods and therefore did not fight, but remained silent. While the fighting was going on among the demons, the Lord himself appeared as the incarnation Mohini, the most beautiful woman in the universe. So, text 1, translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, upon Lord Shiva's drinking the poison, both the demigods and the demons, being very pleased, began to churn the ocean with renewed vigor. As a result of this, there appeared a cow known as Surabhi. Purport. The Surabhi cow is described as Havirdhani, the source of butter. Butter, when clarified by melting, produces ghee, or clarified butter, which is inevitably necessary for performing great ritualistic sacrifices. Now, this cow was Surabhi. She produced butter. But we also find, as in the pastime of Vishvamitra and Vashishta, that these cows, these celestial cows, what to speak of the celestial cows, even the, like the cow that Vashishta Muni had, they could produce more than butter. They could, for the rishis living in the forest like Vashishta, his cow could produce anything he wanted. So when Vishvamitra, who was at that time a king, he was traveling with his whole army. He came to the ashram of Vashishta, and so Vashishta Muni, he through his cow, he produced the ingredients to host Vishvamitra and his whole army. He fed them, he clothed them, provided them, you know, tents to stay in. Servants, everything, all came from his cow. So then Vishvamitra was very impressed that this cow could do everything. The cow could produce all wealth, not simply milk or ghee. So then he demanded, you know, he strongly suggested to Vishishta that I'm the king. As a king, I should have the best of everything. So you give me this cow. So Vashishta, he didn't want to. He didn't really agree. So they started, dragging, taking the cow. The cow didn't want to go. The cow didn't want to go with Vishvamitra because he was very much attached to Vashishta. So, but the Vasishtha was just standing there. So then the cow asked him, do you want me to go? He said, no. Well, why do you think? Well, I'm just a Brahmin. I haven't got any weapons. He says, well, ask me. I'll do something. So then Vasishtha said, okay, then you manifest it. He said, out of the cow came huge armies of Yavanas and Malechas and all kinds. They started attacking Vishvamitra's army and defeated all of them. And they had to run away. So at that point, Vishvamitra, who had thought that Kshatriya Tejas was superior to, was superior, he realized that Brahma Teja was superior to Kshatriya Teja. So therefore he decided to renounce being a Kshatriya and to become a Brahma Rishi. And from that point also he developed a very serious animosity to Vishvamitra, to Vasishtha. So it's the whole feud went on for a long time, involving becoming the killing of all of Vasishtha's children and so many different things. It was very messy, but that's the whole. Those different histories are mentioned in the Ramayana and in the Mahabharata. But the whole point being is that these cows are like, they're like kamadhenus. They can give anything. They're like what are those trees? Kapavriksha trees. They can give, the kapavriksha trees can give anything. So these cows, they can give, these celestial cows can give anything. But here, in particularly, they're, let's see, continuing here. As said in the Bhagavad Gita, yagna dana tapau karma na tyajam karya eva tat. Sacrifice, charity, and austerity are essential to keep human society perfect, in peace and prosperity. Yagna, the performance of sacrifice is essential. To perform yagna, clarified butter, is absolutely necessary. And to get clarified butter, milk is necessary. Milk is produced when there are sufficient cows. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 18:44, cow protection is recommended. Krishi gauraksha vanijyam vaishya karma swabhavajam. So, from the cow, from protected cows, we get milk. The cow gives all beneficial things. Everything from the cow, beneficial. Simply by living in the association of cows, it's actually healthy for you. It's like, people here, they keep pet dogs. I've been to places in India, like a friend of mine in Sri Rangam, they have cows living in the house. The cow has to walk through the living room to go, because the cow, they live in the back, and to get out to the tree, they have to walk through the living room. They keep the cows there. The cows, we wouldn't call them, they treat them like pets, but they're more than pets. Because pets are, we were doing a yagna in the room where Lord Chaitanya stayed when he came to Sri Rangam. This is the same house where Gopal Bhatta was born. So we were doing, and the cow walked into the yagna shala. So it's very nice to keep the cows. And when living an association of cows is actually healthy for you. Keeps certain diseases away. Like other animals, like dogs, they actually, you can get diseases from them. Or like this, was it SARS? Where by living in association of birds, certain types of birds, you'll get the SARS. I was reading, I was filling out a visa. That have you lived in any country where they have SARS? And they don't want you to get near them. And also for goats are particularly beneficial to protect a person from tuberculosis. Anybody got tuberculosis, they should keep goats. But cows, everything about cows is good. Manu says, however, that the back end of the cow is pure, but the mouth is impure. One would think it the other way around, but even the cow dung is more pure than the cow saliva is not pure. So the ghee, specifically says here, ghee is that they wanted the cow for the ghee. Not that ghee is, of course, used in sacrifice. Ghee is the purified essence of everything that the cow eats. So all the cows, they're wandering through the forest, they're eating all kinds of plants, medicinal herbs, various plants. It's like bees. Whatever flowers that the bees go to, the honey has that smell. Right? So depending upon what the cow eats, don't let them eat wild onions, or your milk has a very funny smell to it. Very funky smell. So certain things you want to make sure that cows have a proper diet. Specifically, there's one when I was in Srirangam, they have this plant. It's a type of shock, but not like shock, you know, like spinach, which grows on the ground. It's from a tree. So on every Dwadasi, everybody eats that. But specifically, they give that to cows, and the cows just love that stuff. So ghee is used in yajna, but is also a medicine. It's used in medicine, in Ayurveda. First of all, just ghee itself, eating it, it has all very, almost everybody can eat ghee, can take ghee. There's only contraindicated in a very few special cases. But it stimulates the fire of digestion without aggravating pitta. It's because it's actually ghee is in the category of madhurya, of the madhuras. It's sweet, so it calms things. It can stimulate agni without aggravating that. It increases the intelligence. In fact, at the first samskar, when the child is born, they take a golden spoon and they give a little bit of ghee into the mouth of the child for the ghee to increase the brain substance, to increase the intelligence. Children, adults, they're on these fat-free diets, right? Everybody wants to lose fat. But children, you should never put them on a fat-free diet. They should eat ghee because they need that for their nervous system. It increases their intelligence for the brain because the brain is just fat, literally. The nerves are, that's what the nerves are made of. It's made from fat. Now you want fat made from ghee or do you want fat made from margarine? No. Ghee. Ghee it increases medha. And the older the ghee, the better the ghee. In Ayurveda, they use 100-year-old ghee. It has miraculous healing properties. And also one category of Ayurvedic medicine. There are many categories of Ayurvedic medicines, like lehiyams, kashayams, ashavas, arishtas. Ashavas, arishtas are alcohol-based. But gritam is when you take pure ghee, and for example, Brahmi Grita, you take 8 parts or 1 part ghee, 8 parts Brahmi Ras. You take the Brahmi plant and you crush it. You take the juice, extract the juice, and a few other herbs are there. You put them all together and you just cook it slowly until all the water from the Brahmi is evaporated and you're just left with ghee, which is now green ghee, and you take that because now all the essence is in that ghee, and the ghee is also an anupam. It's the medium by which the medicine is delivered, because in Ayurveda they have different anupams like water, milk, honey, alcohol. These deliver the medicines to different parts of the body. So ghee is used in that case. So also that the other thing is that the everything about the cow is beneficial. I was saying just even living with the cows is beneficial. You have the cow dung. We were discussing earlier about how when I first was living in India, and even in Bangalore, a big city, there was lots and lots of cows. It was a city full of cows. And as soon as a cow pass dung, people would rush out, see who could get the dung first. They would grab the dung, make it into paddies, and immediately put it on some vertical surface so it would get in the sunshine. And as soon as it was dry, they use it for cooking. Yeah, of course, you can use it for manure, things like that. And even the cow is even, you know, of course, there's milk, food, and from the male cow, the bull, there's production value for plowing bullock carts, as Prabhu was saying, that he is saying that in the bullock cart, if the bull has been on the journey before, you don't even have to drive. You just follow. You can just go to sleep in the back of the cart, and the bullock will take you home without having to be told which way to go. You know, they're trying to have computerized cars, you know, with autopilots. They already have. Krishna has already invented it. It's called a bullock cart. He knows how to get to his destination. But and even after death, the cow is useful. In the Vriksha Ayurveda, which is for Ayurveda for plants, and in Krishi Shastra, and then Vriksha Ayurveda, it describes that after a cow dies, you dig a hole, you put the body of the cow, and you plant different varieties of trees on that. That will have very prosperous effects, very beneficial effects for those plants. And so it's a very powerful fertilizer, because it's already died. You know, so there's no need to, you know, and India had millions of cows. There was at one point in time, India had about 200 million of cows before cow slaughter became a lot more prevalent. Now they have, shipping train loads of cows to Russia and Pakistan and different places. Unfortunate thing, you know, it's not. So there's karma will be there for India because of doing that. So, very negative karma if we, you know. And also there's this, recently there's been some discussion about whether we should only drink protected milk, milk from protected cows, or store-bought milk, which, you know, there's a whole controversy about whether we should do that or not. Right? Some people are saying, oh, we should not offer, if we buy store-bought milk, then we're supporting the dairy industry in which the cows are, you know, they're mistreated and so many negative things. In the end, when their production goes below a certain quota, then they kill the cows. And so we should not take that milk and offer to the deities. We should only use as much as possible milk from cows which have been protected. Now, obviously, we're supposed to promote cow protection. We're supposed to have our own goshalas, which is not really what we're doing, but that's what we should do. But even if we had, you know, goshalas with thousands of protected cows, I personally would buy 1 liter of milk from the store and offer it to the deities, because, you know, to make, somebody was saying that in Canada there's only 3 processing plants for milk. That means the milk from thousands and thousands of cows, 1 liter of milk has got, you know, maybe 1 molecule from so many different cows. So if that milk is offered to Krishna, if even Putana, by offering her milk to Krishna, got liberation, what will happen to those cows if their milk is offered to Krishna? Somebody might say, well, we're supporting the, you know, that dairy industry. But, you know, by us not buying some milk, is not going to stop the dairy industry. Right? So you imagine, how would you, imagine in your mind's eye, if you were in a slave labor camp, destined to die, a death camp. But while there, you're performing slave labor, and you're producing, you're making something, right? And you have the option, you have the opportunity that something that you've made can be offered to the deities. But then, would you want some devotees to say, well, if we take what you gave, if we bought something that you manufactured in the slave labor camp, because we don't want to buy that, because then we are supporting that slave labor camp. You know, would you prefer that you're something you made is offered to the deities and you go back to Godhead? Or they make a political statement and what you've made doesn't get offered to the deities? So I would offer the cow's milk. 1 liter. Thousands of cows get benefited. They all go back to Godhead. So, any comments? Any discussion? Oh, one other thing. We're talking about yajna. That ghee is used in yajna. So yajna was more an activity of Treta Yuga. In Satya Yuga, it was meditation. In Treta Yuga, it was yajna. In Dwarpa Yuga, it was archana. And in Kali Yuga, it is Harinam Sankirtan. That is the yajna. But one other aspect of Lord Chaitanya's movement, aside from Sankirtan, is prasadam. Srila Prabhupada called kitchen religion. He said, I heard him in one conversation, said he started this movement by cooking. So an important ingredient in that cooking is ghee. Srila Prabhupada never used oils. Oil is for your car. Krishna is makkhan chur, not margarine chur, not, you know, dalda chur, vanaspati chur. No, he was a butter thief, not vegetable oil thief, palm leaf oil. So, as Napoleon said, the army marches on its stomach. And Lord Chaitanya's army not only marches on his stomach, but also shoots from the kitchen. The kitchen is the weapons manufacturing place, you know, because the prasadam is one of our weapons. So we should use only the most pure ingredients if we want it to have any effect. You're not going to dilute the potency. You can imagine that army, nobody wants to minimize or dilute the potency of their weapons. They're not going to dilute the amount of explosives in their bombs. They're going to want to make them more powerful. They're always trying to make their weapons more powerful. So similarly, one of our weapons is prasadam. So purity, it should be as, what we offer to Krishna should be as pure as possible. Then he'll accept it. Krishna is not a garbage can. It's because we offer it to him doesn't mean he has to accept it. He doesn't. We're cooking for God, not for dogs. One devotee complained, well, Srila Prabhupada, we didn't have the money. He said, I will give you the money out of my own pocket. Don't be a miser. Spend for Krishna. He said, don't be a miser. Spend for Krishna. What do you say? You agree?
Yes.
We should not be Krishna. All the money is coming from Krishna in the first place. Any money which we had, we got it from Krishna. So therefore we should spend it. And more will come. As Srila Prabhupada explained, you know, what businessman can start, I came 10 years ago with 40 rupees, now I have 40 crores. A crore is 10 million. He started with 40, and he had 40 crores. And in a 10 million fold increase over the course of 10 years. Because Krishna gave him the money. So we should, because he had full faith in Krishna. Also, if we read in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, that when Bhaktisiddhanta started what became known later as the Gaudiya Mutt, the first thing he did is that it was the appearance or the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was his Shiksha Guru and also his father. So he celebrated that with extreme pomp and money. Whatever money he had, he spent. It was a very sumptuous feast, very glorious, very grand. Well, and from that point on, the success of the Gaudiya Mutt just went skyrocketed because he spent his resources in the glorification of his guru. So we should not think, you know, oh, we can't afford it, or the budget. The budget is being controlled by Srimati Radharani. You know, just spend for Krishna. Krishna responds. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So if we have a miser mentality, then that's what we'll get. Krishna will treat us the same way, miserly. Comment? Discussion? I made you hungry, right? You became hungry. All right then. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.